This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A long time ago, there was a woman named Hagar. Now, Hagar was Egyptian, and one day she was enslaved into the household of two foreigners named Abram and Sarai. When Abram and Sarai left the land of Egypt, they took Hagar with them, away from her home, away from her people. Now, Abram and Sarai were wealthy and powerful, and they worshiped a god called Yahweh, or Adonai. And their God had promised them that they would have descendants in the multitudes, so many descendants that they would number among the stars. There would be more of them than even the grains of sand upon the earth. Their God had promised Abram and Sarai that they would have a multitude of descendants. And yet, they remained childless. Years and years passed since their God's first promise, and still, they had no child. So, Sarai came up with a plan that involved Hagar. Sarai went to her husband and told him to sleep with Hagar and have a child with her. Abram and Sarai could claim this child as their own, and they could fulfill their God's promise in this way. No one asked for Hagar's opinion about this great plan. No one asked for her consent. But still, she was used. Enslaved as she was, what choice did she have? Hagar became pregnant by Abram. And in no time at all, Sarai became quite displeased with the results of her great plan. It seemed to Sarai that her slave had achieved what she could not. And soon she could not even bear the sight of Hagar. So Sarai came up with a new plan. With Abram's permission, Sarai treated Hagar harshly. So harshly that it drove Hagar to run away. And running away in Hagar's context meant certain death. Everything around them belonged to Abram and Sarai. This whole community of people answered to Abram and Sarai. There was no help for Hagar to find, and there was no one to turn to. So she ran. She ran into the wilderness, where the nights were bitter cold and the days scorching hot, and there were wild predators searching for food. If Hagar survived one night in the wilderness, it would be a miracle. And a miracle occurred. The God of Abram and Sarai sent an angel to Hagar. Through the angel, God made a promise to Hagar, this enslaved Egyptian woman used and abused by her masters. God made a promise to Hagar. I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude. Hagar's offspring would number in the multitude. This promise was not for Abram, it was not for Sarai, it was not even for Hagar's child, it was for her. And the angel of the Lord spoke again. Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, meaning God hears. For the Lord has given heed to your affliction. God heard Hagar, and God came to her in her distress to save her. And Hagar responds to this loving, compassionate God with an incredible statement of faith. She named the Lord who spoke to her. You are El Roi, meaning God who sees. Four, Hagar, when she was used and abused and as good as dead, God heard her, and God saw her and loved her. God saved her. Hagar does what no one else in all of Scripture does. She gives a name to God. God who sees. Now, having received God's promise and trusting in it, Hagar returned to the home of Abram and Sarai, where she could bear her child and give him safety from the dangers of the wilderness. 13 years passed, and Sarah finally bore a son of her own. Now, having achieved what she had forced upon Hagar, Sarah came up with another plan. She did not want even a small portion of her son's inheritance to go to Ishmael, that son of Hagar. So she asked Abraham, cast Hagar and Ishmael out. And after some hesitation and assurance from God that all would be well, Abraham agreed. He gave Hagar a loaf of bread and a skin of water and sent her and Ishmael on their way. Hagar and her son wandered through the wilderness, their food and water gone, nothing to sustain them. Once again, Hagar found herself as good as dead. But this time, her son was as good as dead too. And Hagar could not bear to watch her child die. She hid him in the bushes and walked a distance off to weep. And God heard the cries of Ishmael and Hagar. The angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar, "Do not be afraid, for God has heard." And then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water, their salvation there. The God who sees, the God who hears, heard and saw Hagar and Ishmael and saved them. And a great multitude did descend from Hagar, just as the God who sees had promised. Hagar's story is miraculous, not just because of the way that God saves Hagar, but because her story exists. It is an absolute miracle that Hagar's story was not erased. Because no matter how you read this story, Abraham and Sarah do not come out of it looking good. In all honesty, they're the villains of this story. They use and abuse Hagar and then dispose of her as if she is nothing. And when Abram and Sarai have no faith in the promises of God, it's Hagar who believes in God's promise and names God, God who sees. Hagar is the model of faith in this story, not Abraham and Sarah, which is why it is so surprising that her story was not erased. Abraham and Sarah are the ancestors of faith. I mean, many of us grew up learning the song, "Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you." We think of Abraham as the ancestor of faith. And Abraham and Sarah are lifted up by people like Paul as the absolute models of faithfulness. So to maintain this perfect picture of faithfulness, it would make complete sense to just erase Hagar's story, the sort of blip on the screen of faithfulness. And yet, her story has survived. About 4,000 years later, we are still telling Hagar's story. That is a miracle, an absolute miracle of God. The God who heard and saw Hagar wants her story to be heard and seen. For there are many people whose stories could be easily erased. Stories that are far more convenient not to be told. There are the stories of women who have been abused and used. There are the stories of African Americans whose ancestors were enslaved and taken far from family and home. There's the stories of indigenous peoples whose lands were taken from them, just as Abraham and Sarah took the land from the Canaanites. There are the stories of Muslims who traced their ancestry back to Hagar and Ishmael. There are many stories that are more convenient to erase because these stories call us to confession. Confession of how we continue the sins of racism and sexism and hatred of those of other faiths. These stories call us to admit that hearing them makes us uncomfortable. And they challenge us to believe experiences that are outside of our own. They call us to compassion for those that we may have hurt, either actively or passively. For so many of us, it would be far more convenient for stories like Hagar's to just be erased. But God did not allow Hagar's story to be erased. God heard and God saw Hagar. And God wants us to hear and see Hagar too. And all of the people in our world whose stories could be so easily erased. And my siblings, if you are one of those people who has a story that it is so much more convenient for your story to be erased, know that God sees and hears you. And God wants your story to be heard and seen too. Because my siblings, those who are overlooked, those who are hurt, those who are abused, are never, never erased by God. The God who sees, the God who hears those in affliction, loves and saves. Make sure that those stories are both seen and heard. Amen.